Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the wisdom of your word, and that the power of your word would now go forth and change us, that we would realize our need and the lack, God, that your spirit wouldn't be a band-aid for us. No, it would be a complete healing. God, may your spirit strengthen our faith tonight and deal with the issues of our life. Your word says that out of our hearts spring forth the issues of life. I'll deal with all those issues tonight, God. One by one, get rid of them for us, please. We need you. Only you can change our hearts. So we pray in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Every once in a while, you read something that absolutely blows you away. Sometimes you read something from the Lord. If you're reading through any of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and you read something that the Lord Jesus said, and you're just like, no mere man could have written that. It's just something like the parables. You read them, and it just, when you first start to read the Bible, it just blows you away. It's like, that's like so beyond human understanding. You guys follow what I'm saying? It almost appears as though the Lord Jesus was speaking to angels and not to men. And like the angels are like, hey, yeah, that's a good point. But we're like, wow, I'm missing the whole thing. Chapter 8 of the book of Proverbs is like that. The writing is so delicate. It's so intentional. It's so, are you ready? Gradual. That by the time you get to the latter part, there's poets have these things called movements. It's like a baby has movements. Dun-dun-dun. This proverb has three movements. The first movement is practical. The second movement is emotional. The third movement is spiritual in a way that you're like, if you read it all at once, you just can't imagine. How did he do that? Who? Lord Jesus put it this way. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, some say you're a prophet. Some say you're Elijah. No. Who do you say that I am? He says you're the Holy One of Israel, the Son of God. You are left with, at the end of this chapter, if I can present it properly, if I can get out of the way far enough, at the end, you're going to be just like the apostles on this boat where they sat back and they said, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him? It's just, it's one of those chapters that every time I read it, I just like, oh, so crazy, God, you're so crazy. Verse 1, chapter 8 of the book of Proverbs, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? Did you just mess with this thing? Okay. Wisdom cries out, and understanding lifts up her voice. The New Agers of the day will tell you you have to get away. You have to go to a mountaintop. You have to go where nobody is, and you have to put your body in some lotus position, and you've got to search for it. It's somewhere. And so obvious that the spirit of the enemy is in that, the prince of the power of the air, as the Bible calls the devil. Because it's the exact opposite of what God says here. It's, no, listen. It cries out. Look at verse 2. She, speaking of this wisdom, takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates, at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. Where does she cry out? Everywhere. Now, the first initial thought of tonight's Bible study, if you would call it, quote unquote, a message, is, guys, wisdom is everywhere you look for it. It's everywhere you look for it. Every place. You can hide yourself alone in your room, trying to run from God, trying to run from people. God is going to find you. Psalm 139 says, where can I go from your presence? If I take wings and I go to the skies, you're there. If I make my bed in the gates of hell, behold, you're there too. You can't run from God, nor can you avoid the wisdom of God. Before your life is over, you're going to learn some things, good, bad, or indifferent. I had a kid show up today for an interview. This is classic. This is great. I love telling you guys these stories because they're so freaking amusing. The kid says to me, he shows up and he's dressed like really nice. And I'm like, well, it's more casual environment. I don't know. Are you thinking about working with animals or working upstairs? I want to work upstairs in the offices. Talk about when he could start. He could start in about a week. I said, well, we like to do a working interview. You sit down and you kind of get to know some people, get feel for the job. It usually takes an hour or two. Maybe you can do it today. Oh, I've got a lot of appointments today. So, well, when can you come back and do a working interview? He said, probably Monday. I said, Monday's the 19th, and on your application, you said you could start on the 20th. Well, I meant like the 20th is like the soonest I could start. I have no idea what that meant. I didn't call him to it. I just met the kid. I said, well, tell me. I showed him the operation. I said, where do you see yourself? He says, we're sitting down on the rocking chairs out front. And he says to me this, you know, my last job I made my whole life. I'm looking for a job that won't consume my whole life. In my head, I'm thinking, well, that's a funny thing to say to your potential boss. Well, you understand, like I poured my whole life into my last job, and really what I want to do is start my own company. I sell these projects on Etsy, and I'm really hoping that that'll develop into a career. So you're looking for a temporary job? Well, just until I get my thing going. Now, if you're here and you're a young person and you're like, yeah, I understand that, you're stupid. You're in dire need of wisdom. And wisdom's going to find you like it found that kid today. And I shook his hand. I said, hey, do me a favor. Give me a call in a few days, all right? See ya. Bye. Wisdom cries aloud outside. This kid learned something today. He learned it's probably better. There's an old ancient proverb that says this. It's better to be silent and thought of a fool than to open your mouth and remove all the doubt. She cries out by the gates, at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things. At the opening of my lips will come right things. Verse 6 is the first hint. It's the first little tickling of your spirit that goes, who is he talking about? I thought we were talking about wisdom. And I thought wisdom was a girl. You said, she. All of a sudden, I opened my lips, for my lips will speak. Well, that's a really cool picture he kind of does there, right? Well, yeah, you could symbolize wisdom being this thing that speaks to you and you receive it. I mean, if you do enough job interviews like that and you don't get the job, at some point in time, maybe you'll listen to your parents when he says, shut up. Say, no, I'm willing to work 50, 60, 70 hours a week. I'm ready to pour myself into this work like it's everything I have because hunger drives me on. Then you'll get the job. Wisdom. Verse 7, for my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Wait a second, there's something else going on here. You see that little hint? Are we really talking about wisdom? I mean, is wisdom a person? Oh. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. Now, the application here is if you've gotten a little hint, maybe we're talking about some kind of supernatural being here. Maybe we're talking about the Lord. Maybe we're talking about the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus. But I also want you to understand something. That's what she said. Might be a funny joke, but it's not with righteousness. And that's somebody who says that all the time as a joke to my brothers. I coarse jest too much. That's what she said. But here, wisdom, there's nothing crooked or perverse in wisdom. That's not smart. You shouldn't say that no more. Now, I know I'm the only one. You guys are like, oh my goodness. You're pearl clutching right now. It's a joke. They're all plain to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom, okay, we are talking about wisdom, is better than rubies, and all the things one desire cannot be compared with her. That young lad came today looking for rubies, but what he got instead was wisdom. And smart young men and smart young women, like that old saying goes, teach somebody how to fish, and you don't need to bring them fish anymore. Right? Movement 2. Something happens. The picture that was vague, this strange form in the mist, now starts to become clearer. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. We're going to take a left turn just for a couple of minutes because it was in my heart to do so. And while I was praying, opening the service today, it came to my brain again. When I was a non-believer, a godless, heathen, hypocrite, liar, with a form of believing of some God that would do my bidding if he loved me and wouldn't when he didn't love me. The first time I heard the phrase, the fear of God, in my arrogance and in my pride, I said, I ain't afraid of nothing. No man. And if God needs me to fear him, I guess he don't need me so bad because I ain't living in fear. Anybody? Hands on that one? Am I alone in that one? Anybody else? Hands on that one? Anybody else? I'm just the four of us? Okay, so you guys too. Okay. So, okay, I'm not alone. So in order for any of you, if you have that thought in your head, I did this search on the exact phrase, fear of the Lord. Because if the fear of the Lord keeps you from the fear of the Lord because of that arrogant statement, I ain't afraid of nobody, I want you to get a picture of what the fear of the Lord is. It occurs almost 30 times in the Bible, the exact phrase. And Steve graciously gave us these. So he took a yoke of oxen, cut them in pieces, sent them throughout all the territory of Israel by the hands of the messengers, saying, whoever does not go out with Saul and Samuel to battle, so shall it be done to this oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell upon people, and they came out with one consent. Let me first give you a picture. This doesn't tell you what the fear of the Lord is, but it gives you an understanding. I was 22 years old. I was living in New York City. I had just finished the largest crime of my entire career. I had a truckload of leather coats that me and a crew just knocked off out of Miami. I'm out of Miami, out of Manhattan. 50 grand, first 50 grand in cash takes it. There's a knock at my door. Ryan, you've been a bad boy. I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, I heard you're making deals in the neighborhood and somehow I didn't get cut in. And I was like, Skipper. Now, you guys that don't know the street, there's a hierarchy. And you called your boss, boss, and you called your captain, captain, capo, and you called your skipper, skipper. And that's how the hierarchy was. You had respect out of fear. And I was like, look, Skip, I didn't get paid yet, but I promise everybody gets an envelope before this thing's over. And he said, yeah, but when you do deals behind our back, it kind of makes us paranoid. And I was like, look, I don't know what you heard, but I did this job with your cousin. Yeah, my cousin came to me and said, you didn't want to break something off for us. I probably even said that. I probably did. I don't even remember if I said that. And he grabs me. I had a little bit longer hair back then. And he grabs me and he wrapped his finger around my hair. And he pulled my head right into his mouth. And he whispered in my ear, I'm going to put the fear of God in you. And then he just went like this with his finger. And I pulled back. Someday I'll tell you the rest of that story. When the fear of God comes on you like this, you know that nobody can help you except God, and you probably don't deserve his help at that point. Are you with me? Next. Then they defeated all the cities around Gerar. And the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plundered all the cities, for there was exceedingly much spoil in them. This is when God puts the fear of the Lord in your enemies. When people will look at you, and they will, and say, the blessing of the Lord is upon that person, stay away from them. Even the world will do that. And the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the land that were around Judah, so they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. Well, that was one of the kings of Israel. Keep going. Now, therefore, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, nor taking of bribes. So, go ahead, back one. So in this verse, he was wishing a blessing. Hey, may you walk in the fear of the Lord. Because in the fear of the Lord, well, we're about to find out all the blessings that come with the fear of the Lord. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall you act in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a loyal heart. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Wait a second. Isn't that? Yes. Job and Proverbs are a very similar book. And if you've not yet read the book of Job, I highly recommend not just reading the book of Job, but studying it. Because much, and this is very, very interesting, and this is so important to wisdom, much of the book of Job is not godly wisdom. And you need to discern when you're reading. Because there's a lot of things in the book of Job that you read, and if you apply them to your life immediately, you're going against Because just for a quick Bible study understanding, there's four guys in the book of Job that give Job all this stuff. And Job's job is to discern what he should listen to and what he shouldn't. So if you take out of context something that's written in the book of Job and apply it to your life, you're going to be sorry. Bad. Ready? The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So the first thing that we hear about the fear of the Lord, now, we don't know what it is. We just know first, it's clean, right? Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The writer of this Psalm 34, which was probably David, was telling his kids, follow me as I follow Christ. That's the same thing that the Apostle Paul said to us, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Okay. So the first thing is, without the fear of the Lord, there ain't no wisdom, is there? Now, we just read wisdom's crying aloud outside. That kind of throws a little bit of a little glue into this sticky mess. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Wait, we just read that. Yeah, it says that a bunch of times in the Bible. Fools despise wisdom and instruction, and they say stupid things to people who are interviewing them, even at 26 years old. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Chapter 1, verse 29 of the book of Proverbs talks about people who don't fear the Lord and what happens to them. God will hold them in derision. He will laugh at them. They will reach out for him at a time that he cannot be found. And you know why? Because you didn't choose the fear of the Lord. You were too busy telling God, I ain't afraid of nothing. I ain't afraid of no man. No, if you need me to be afraid of you, then you don't need me, because that was me. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Oh, wait a second. First thing is, what is the fear of the Lord? Well, the first thing it is it's to hate evil, pride, arrogance, and the evil way. Wait, I thought the fear of the Lord was like, I mean, this is all the things that I placed in my, I don't know if you understand, but this is what I did. I really did. I was like, I don't know if it was an excuse or attack of the enemy. I don't know what it was that had me thinking like the fear of the Lord is this weird thing, and if God needs me to be afraid of him, then I'm not going to follow God. But as I'm reading the Bible and finding out what the fear of the Lord is, like somebody lied to me or I lied to myself. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We already read that. He says it a lot. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. It's the craziest thing in the world. True Christians, they sit back and look at the things that God have done, that God has done in their life. People that are following the Lord, people that are walking with the Lord. Two weird things happen. Number one, they go, man, it feels like I've had a long life. Like, I'm 56 years old, and it's like, if I died tomorrow, it's like, yeah, God don't owe me nothing. I've had a pretty good life, man. I ain't afraid to die. I'm ready to die. But then again, it just went so fast. You guys know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And that's a great thing. When you walk with the Lord, you don't have regret. And on one side, it's like you've lived long enough, but on the other side, it's just gone so fast. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. Well, that doesn't make sense. I thought strong confidence was like the opposite of fear. No. And I love this verse. I've applied this verse to my life 1,000 ways. My kids know that I'm confident in the fear of the Lord. When my wife wakes up and she sees me outside praying and reading my Bible, when my kids wake up every single day and I'm reading and praying, that gives me confidence. And what does it give them? A place of refuge. My husband is walking with the Lord. My dad loves God. And it gives them this place of refuge. They're not out there alone. They know they're not out there alone. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. Hey, man, the picture I had of the fear of the Lord is really, really different than what I thought it was. Amen? Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Amen? If you've ever had a pocket full of cash without God, you realize that. Man, you know what? I'm straight with a loaf of bread and a jar of peanut butter with God. What does the Bible say? I love this verse. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than a king anywhere else. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. What? No back. No back. You're going the wrong way. Who's hearing that thing? Back. There it is. When you walk in the fear of the Lord, not only do you have life, but you're satisfied with the life that you have. And on top of it, the enemy can't attack you. I freaking love that verse. And just don't tell anybody. I've been praying that verse over my wife every morning for 15 years. Don't tell her I told you. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Wait a second. In the fear of the Lord is riches? All of a sudden, the fear of the Lord ain't seeming so bad. I like the fear of the Lord now. When do the riches come after the fear of the Lord? Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. Now, having read that one as far down the list as I can, if I would have read that one first, you'd have been like, yeah, well, show me more. What have I showed you about the fear of the Lord? Just what the Bible says. Man, I'm digging that. I want to be zealous for the fear of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. Now, before you turn, does anybody know what chapter that is? Does anybody know who they're talking about there? That is talking about Messiah. That is one of the most famous verses in the Bible, speaking of the coming of the Messiah to the Jews. The Lord Jesus walked in the fear of the Lord. And you want to know what he was afraid of most? Of doing something that God didn't tell him to do. That's all he wanted to do, is what God wanted him to do. Salute. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor by the hearing of his ears. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Whew, man. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Fear of the Lord ain't so bad. You know, there's a scene in this movie. You guys ever see the movie, what's that Avenger movie where the ground lifts up off the ground? The ground lifts up and they're going to drop it back down. Is that Ultron? Did you know that? That's because you're a geek. In Age of Ultron, there's a scene where when there's like thousands of people on this plot of ground, and they're about to, this thing's about to fall to the earth and create a billion people death. And one of the superheroes says to the other, what's the name of the what's the name of the organization?
Shield.
And he speaks with the Russian. I says, so this is Shield? He said, yeah. He says, it's not so bad. So this is the fear of the Lord? Yeah. It's not so bad. It's like that scene from Lord of the Rings. Sorry, honey. Well, he's talking to one of the little hobbits. Gandalf is talking to one of the hobbits, and he says to him, I didn't think it would end like this. And he goes, end? Oh no, it doesn't end here. Death is just a path, another path that we all must take. And then he says, then what? He says, then you see it, the lights. And he describes the scene of heaven. And he says, that's not so bad. And he says, no, it's not. The fear of the Lord, it's not so bad. Like, let go of everything that's kept you from the fear of the Lord, everything in your heart, and ask God to fill you with more of the fear of the Lord. Ask God to fill you with everything that comes with the fear of the Lord, the riches and the honor and the salvations and the freedom. The freedom, amen. Okay, that was a little left turn. Come back. Remember, we're in movement 2. Pick it back up in verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. Wait a second. Because we started this chapter by talking about wisdom, and it gave us this shadow in the midst, this figure in the mist. But now, what do you mean by you kings reign? This thing is solidifying little by little. This second movement, I feel like I'm getting played here. The writer, so delicate, so direct, so effortlessly paints this picture. Continuing. You still might not be there, but believe me, you're on the way with us. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. You see, verse 17 is kind of the dead giveaway. What do you mean, those who seek? It says the same thing in Jeremiah 29, like verse 13 or 14. He says, if you search for me with all your heart, you will find me. Oh, you're talking about God. You're not talking about wisdom anymore. You switched it up on us. No, it's the same thing. Fear of the Lord, the beginning of it is wisdom. Wisdom is God. God is wisdom. There is no wisdom. There is no counsel. There is no understanding against the Lord. The horse might be prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. I love the way he paints this thing, and he continues. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness. That word's an old English word, traverse. It means to walk about, to walk about. I walk about the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Please, give me your attention. Okay, we've been tricked, but maybe not. It's still, you could see the symbolism. You could, yeah, okay. But movement 3, the spiritual part, he takes the blinders off completely. It's like he puts on three sets of glasses, one, two, three, and one by one. He takes the first one off, and you're like, oh, I see it a little better. He takes the second one off, you see it a little better. Here, he just takes them off. He's like, yeah, I wasn't talking about wisdom at all. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. You know, the Bible says, today I've begotten you, today you are my son. From when some suggest, when the Trinity was split, when this one being became three so that people would understand something. And he sent forth his spirit over the water. And he sent forth his son to come and die with us. Yet there's still one person. Crazy. Crazy. Today you are my son. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. You are brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limit so that the water would not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman. Keep your place here. Go to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to come right back. If you're quick turning, it just came to my head while we were talking. Colossians chapter 1. You guys there? Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him, all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Man, we've been fooled. We thought we were reading something. Go back to chapter 8. We thought we were reading something in the Old Testament. We thought we were reading something about wisdom because this is a wisdom book. We thought we were reading something that was written 3,000 years before the Lord Jesus walked the face of the earth. We thought we were reading. We thought way too much. I was beside him as a master craftsman. I was daily his delight. Rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Now, I want you to see the vagueness of the first few verses of this chapter and the clarity of the last few. We ain't talking about anybody but God. As a matter of fact, let's be clear, we're talking about God's Son. And with a beauty that only a true artist can paint. We just painted a picture that developed right before our eyes. It used to be in my days, guys, young kids, you understand this. You got to be over 40 to understand this. We had something called a Polaroid. And we'd look at it and you'd peel off the black and you'd look at it. And for some reason, because we were impatient, we had to wave it in the air. And we'd look at it and things would start to form. The image would be formed. And then it took like a full, until it was completely finished, it was like 15 minutes. But then, oh man, that's a good one. That's what just happened to us. Next time you read this, and I highly suggest you read it again. Read it a few times before the week's out, and look at it, and you're like, yeah, man. First thing, it was just like this little wisp. He's talking about wisdom. No, he's not talking about wisdom. There's a picture. And now all of a sudden, this picture. Let me read this last part again. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. That's not wisdom at all. But there is a lesson here, because it is a wisdom book. Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Before we read the last verse of the chapter, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are talking about wisdom. It's like at the latter part of this chapter, he's like, dude, figure it out. Don't be a 40-year-old child. Wake the heck up, man. Dig wisdom, man. Get it. And all you're getting, get understanding. And here's what you need to understand. You're blessed if you listen to him daily. Every day, what do? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Every day. Not once a week, not twice a week for you guys who go to church. Every day. Knock on the gate of heaven with the Bible. Show me something today, God, please. I want the fear of the Lord and the riches that come with it, whether they be physical, monetary, or peace. I want the riches that come with the fear of the Lord. Whoever finds me finds life. What did I say on Sunday? Remember that old Christian saying? If you're born once, you get to die twice. But if you're born twice, you only get to die once. If you find Christ, you find life. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Listen to verse 36. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. Those who hate me love death. Man. Why would anybody hate God? I mean, like, what is these people's problem? We are raising a world right now of nihilists, godless wonders who don't even know why they hate God. They just do. It's the craziest thing in the world. The other day, Antifa did this march. If you don't know who Antifa is, watch the news once in a while. And they had a banner, and they were walking through the streets with the banner, with all of the demands of no more fascist, no more racist. And at the bottom was no more pedo bashing. It's okay if you're a pedophile, and you shouldn't bash pedophiles. That's Antifa's message. That's what they want you to know. That relative morality is a cultural existence. Cultural relativity, relative morality. If somebody wants to have sex with a child, that's their business and you shouldn't judge. And if you do, we're going to march on your town. Like, do you hate? You just must love death. Because you're about to find it in a whole lot of different ways. Because our country, which is being held together right now, believe it, with spit and prayer, is about to blow apart at the seams. And if you think that the right side is the Republicans, you're wrong. I'll tell you a story before we close. There was a man named Joshua who crawled over the top of a hill, spying out the land that he was about to go into. And he came across this figure, this mist, this figure in the mist, majestic in nature. He knew he was standing in the presence of something special. And he looked up and he said, "Are you for us or are you for them?" And this figure looked down and said, "Neither. I am the Prince of the Lord's army." Be careful whose side you choose here. Your eternal existence could depend on it. We're getting a free ride out of this place soon if you love the Lord. And once the Holy Spirit is out of this world, let me throw a little something at you guys. It's 8:45. I got 2 more minutes. The end times, according to the scriptures, talks about Babylon, Iraq, Jerusalem, which is still modern-day Jerusalem. It talks about China. It talks about Russia. The Battle of Gog and Magog. You know who it don't talk about? America. Now, some would suggest there's one of two reasons. Number one, it's because the vast majority of Americans are going to get raptured out of this place. But the other reason is we're what they call in racetrack terms an also-ran. We cease to become a world power. Running side by side with another nation that one time ruled the entire earth, Rome. And in the last days of Rome, they did exactly what we are doing. If you're a student of history, you can look up, you could Google it, or better yet, instead of Google, you can use, what's it called, dog? Oh. Huh? DuckDuckGo. Much better search engine, and it's encrypted. Get rid of your Google. You can look up the similarities between where America was and where Rome was, and the things that they embraced, how they got away from the Senate and moved towards socialism, how they got away from the nuclear family and went toward homosexuality, androgyny, sexuality. Be careful where you stand, lest we fall with them. We are not of this world. We're just visiting. Don't hold on to your stuff too tightly. That's wisdom. That's the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the wisdom of your word, God. And we know now that you are wisdom, God, and we embrace you with everything. Lead our steps. Guide us, God. May we walk where you tell us. May we pray with and for whom you tell us. May we believe as you want us to believe, and may we be strong in the power of your might. May we take everything as an urgent call. God, may our jobs be only to bring people to you. May our marriages only to bring people to you. May everything be ministry, God, until we see you face to face. And we say, soon and very soon may it be. We cry out like the Apostle Paul, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." God, we ask you to give us eyes to see the Antichrist when he rises, that we would not follow, but we would patiently endure, that you would not come as a thief in the night. No, that as the lightning shoots from one sky to the other, that's how we would recognize you. We're not go out to the desert when they say, "See, he is here," and "See, he is there." And our lamp would be burning bright. and we would hear those words soon and very soon, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful with a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into your Father's rest." We long for those words. May nothing interfere with that. May it be said, "Of all the sheep you gave me, I lost none." Complete. And we proclaim your words over our own hearts and lives, and over this church especially. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.